this kind of music puts me right back on the block. Yeah, it's like crack to an addict. It ain't too hard for me to grab it. I'm going with this kind of music puts me right back on the block.
Man, I think I'm addicted to the life that I had, so I risk it. Running the street with the heat, boy. Three deep in the SUV. The bigger you blow, the less you see, the more you hear. A real nigga lost his life right there. It's hard to believe a flip is the reason he's not here. He's still a killer with something that ain't his, and jeopardize the well-being of him and his kids. That's how it is. Sigs and old cribs. Those that tow pigs live with broke ribs. Or went under the dirt with the worms. The results of the colds, packed funeral homes. You know the names, cause we tattooing them all. I'm gone, just cruising back to in the morn. So fuck rap, we're coming at you in a song. When you hear that, point it at you, then you're gone.
I think I got a habit, keeps pulling me in like a magnet. I'm going with this kind of music, puts me right back on the block. Yeah, it's like crack to a addict. It ain't too hard for me to grab it. I'm going with this kind
Yo,
of music.
Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. What's going on with y'all? It's been a minute. Glad to be checking back in. Got a few topics to chat about that I'm looking forward to talking about. Hope you all have been good. There's been a lot that's happened since the last time I did a podcast. I'm gonna take a sip of the drink that I have with me. It's a very good drink. I like Macallan. If you ever want to be nice, get me something that'll put a smile on my face. Macallan is great. So tonight I wanted to cover a few different things. So one was the Troy Ave shooting that happened a few nights ago, and the aftermath and the fallout of that, and the video that came up. Then, as somebody who works in education and in ed reform, as somebody who believes in parent choice and all that good stuff, there was an article that came out from this guy on the ed reform side of things that's basically asking the question, is the movement getting too black and brown? Is it becoming a bit too radical with people of color? So I definitely have a take on that. And then I wanted to talk about my feelings on bandwagon fans, since we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs or whatnot, and just because folks are like, you really don't like bandwagon fans. And I wanted to talk about that because I know there's like warrior hysteria going on, you know. So it's going to be an interesting night. And what I'll try to do is I'm thinking about going and using SoundCloud in addition to this, because you can chop things up a little bit differently. But I don't know. We'll see. I do all this stuff on my own, so that might take up a bit more time, but you know, I'll play around with it. So to start off, Troy Ave. So a lot of folks that listen, I have people that listen to this podcast from a bunch of different walks of life. So there's a segment of folks listening to this that are hip hop heads like I am, and especially like fans of like Black Hoodie Rap, and like I like old school like New York rap. I grew up with it. Illmatic is one of my favorite albums. So they already kind of know who Troy Ave is and the situation I'm referring to. But there's a segment, I would say the vast majority of people, because a lot of people in education listen to this, or a lot of folks that I work with in healthcare, or just from other type of social work s type things, that may not have any idea of who Troy Ave is. So let me give some context. So Troy Ave is a young man. I think he's about 30, a New York rapper. Seems to be a student of New York rap, came in the game trying to bring New York back. He sounds, when he first started, he still sounds like him a little bit, but he came out sounding a lot like 50 Cent. There were some issues there for a minute, and then they became friends, and he got the pass. I think he's made some decent music. A lot of people don't like Troy Ave. A lot of people think that he's cocky, that he doesn't really respect folks. I mean, like, I don't feel that way. I think that the kid is talented. I think he makes good music. I like his music. That's just me personally. I think that he raps about things that he's done, and I think that he honestly worked real hard to get to where he was. He had a few issues with a lot of people, and one of those was another rapper by the name of Joey Badass. Joey Badass is another young, talented rapper coming off the East Coast, and they have two very different styles. So whereas Trav is a more black hoodie gangster rap type dude that raps about his time selling drugs and things like that, Joey Badass tends to get more compared to the underground rap scene. Both of them are independent artists trying to make it happen. So they had an issue, and the argument was kind of dumb. I mean, I think competition, I'm a competitive dude, so I get the argument, but I think folks outside of that world, and that's just not hyper competitive, would be like, that's stupid as hell. I don't know why y'all arguing about that. But basically, they're arguing about who's the biggest independent artist, right? So Joey feels he is, Troy feels he is. Joey had a few things to say, said something in a song. Troy came back and made a pretty hard album. I mean, a pretty hard record at going at Joey, basically saying, you know, he kind of hit below the belt. Joey Badass had a friend that was close to him that killed himself. And Troy Ave brought that up in a song. It wasn't in the best taste, according to some folks. I mean, some people say, like, in the middle of a war, you know, it don't really matter. But depending on how you feel, like, that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. Anyway, so Troy is this kid from the street. Got a lot of beef now, doesn't really go out without strap, without guns, things like that. So he's doing a concert with T.I., and apparently some stuff happened. It's rumored that he had issues with another rapper that was there, Mano. Mano has since come out and said that the issue that went down had nothing to do with him, trying to steer clear of that. Shots rang out. Troy Ave's friend is killed. Another bystander is shot. Troy Ave is shot. And then a video comes out a few days later showing Troy Ave, looks like he's already been shot, walking through like the back or wherever the area was, pulls out, he has his gun in his hand, he's shooting. And so a lot of folks have been like, man, that's just stupid. He's done. You know, there are articles coming out in places like allhiphop.com that's talking about like the demise of Troy Ave. I mean, there's a lot of folks that are like somewhat happy to see him go away. He's currently in the hospital, but I think as soon as he is all better, I think he's going straight to jail, and then he gotta, you know, get arraigned and do all that stuff. Now, the reason why I'm commenting on it is, I mean, I love hip hop. I do. The only thing that I loved more than hip hop was basketball back in the day. And since I ripped my knee up, I don't even watch the playoffs. I haven't watched basketball for like the last like 2 years. I might check in when it's the Kentucky Wildcats, you know, check in on the Bulls every now and then, you know. I'll talk about what my feelings are with the Warriors a little bit later. I used to love the Warriors. Warriors was like one of my favorite teams. Had homies that played on that team, and I can go a little deeper into it when we get to the bandwagon part. I don't wish them no ill. I just, the love that I have for them kind of dissipated a bit when they decided they was going to San Francisco. Not their fault. I'm just not a fan of San Francisco. I don't like any San Francisco teams. And my fandom is real in this piece. So anyway, but hip hop is something that I like truly love, right? I mean, everywhere you see me, you see me with headphones. I can have on a 3-piece suit, brand new shoes, and you're going to still see headphones in my ear, just messing the whole suit up, clashing. It's nothing though, because I love, 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 love music. I've walked into meetings with like the mayor or mayors of other like cities, and right before I walked in those doors, like Illmatic was in my ear plan. I mean, it's like that. So anyway, so Troy's been getting a lot of like flack, but I wanted to offer a different perspective, right? And I wanted to like reflect on who this dude was, what we've created as a society, and the thin line between being real and being stupid. And I think that a long time ago, you know, authenticity was something that you couldn't live without in hip hop. You had to be authentic. You had to be from where you said you was from. Like if you said you did this thing, people kind of checked that and you know, and held you to the carpet on that, right? So folks like Tupac, who was just passionate about who he was, like Biggie was a drug dealer from Brooklyn that could rap, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z was a hustler from Brooklyn that could rap. Too Short grew up in like these Oakland streets during the crack epidemic, and that's what he talked about. 50 came out and hit real big because 50 was a goon that was really in the streets, and like that resonated with people just around the realness. And it wasn't just about being a thug. Like Kanye West came out and he was just authentically himself, like in the sense of, like, I believe, you know, I'm better than all these cats out here, and I'm talented, and just because I make beats don't mean I can't rap. I feel like I can rap better than everybody else. So there's an authenticity there. And then you start to see things kind of shift, right? So then, like, folks like Rick Ross, who was actually, like, a CEO before his rap career, came out rapping about pushing kilos and weight and all that stuff. And then there are rappers that called him to the carpet on that. I remember his issue with 50. And I remember they beef getting so real that like Khaled had something to say about 50 Cent, and 50 Cent sent like goons to Khaled's mom's job. Like these people, like that dude's really off, right? But then the game kind of shifted because to the general public, it felt like Ross was just making good music. So people didn't really care about what his background was. They just wanted to hear him. And they wanted to hear the music because the music was good. And so hence you got like a new era of rapper. So then you had like these new folks doing different things. And then along comes somebody like Troy Ave. So Troy talks about his background, but I think people never really believed what that background was, just because that the rap has just gotten so watered down. And when I say this, I'm not making a judgment on if these things are right or wrong. Like, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? I'm not justifying these things, but I'm just offering context to where we are, like in society. So, you know, he's at a concert, about to perform, some beef pops off, his mans get shot, he got a gun on him. He's from the street, he is a street dude. Like, that's where he comes from. Like, in the beginning of the Joey Badass diss song, he says, some people throw shots, but it don't matter. Because when I throw shots, bone shatter. Like, I felt like he meant that. So, you know, you're in a situation where, like, guns ring out. It's mayhem. It's craziness. People around you get shot. You take one to the leg. And then, I mean, he reacted as if he was in that environment. You know, and at the moment, that's what that environment was. And so, I'm interested to see what happens. I feel bad for everybody that was involved in that, because I think that, you know, I mean, homie just had a son, and I do think that his grind was pure. I think that he was really trying to do something positive. I just think it's unfortunate, but I'm just not quick to go out and then write the articles about how dumb he was and things like that. So, I mean, I think if I'm being honest, like, I'm not a street dude. I've never been cut that way. That's just not who I am. I didn't get into a whole bunch of fights. Like, it's just like, you know, I've always had a temper, but I was never built that way. So one time me and my friends, and we talked about this on a podcast before, but I was in Mexico with some friends of mine, and we was doing stuff that young folks do in Mexico, having drinks and having a good time. We was young. Mexico is a cheap trip. If you live in California, you just go down, you know, flew down to San Diego, got a rental car. Parked at the border, crossed the border. We partying in Tijuana. We partying in Rosarita Beach, Papas and Beers or whatever those places. Like, it was, we had a good time. And so my brother gets into it with this dude. This is like the biggest dude I'd ever seen. We like in Mexico. It's like this big Mexican dude, right? And I didn't know they got into it. So I'm on the bar stool getting these drinks for my people, and then dude comes up and like pats my pockets, like he's about to like rob me. So I step off the stool. Me and dude is like looking at each other. I don't see like his friends and all these people around. So then the bartender lets me know, and I'm like my early 20s. My brother's back from he's back from I think from Iraq, and then our homies came up. We had two other homies with us, so it's four of us. So I'm getting the drinks I got for everybody. So me and dude just staring each other down. I slapped his hand away. I get off the stool. We staring each other down. The bartender calls out that my drinks are ready. As I turn, dude hit me. Right? Like, dude stuck me, right? And so Will comes. Will fires on the dude. Then me and the dude start fighting. Then dude's friend jumps in. So before you know, it's like a real bar fight. It's like out of a movie, yo. It's like, at this point, it's like 20 people fighting. It's crazy. It's mayhem, right? And just the things that went down in that bar that night was like crazy, right? And it was just all off reaction. Like, nobody went there looking for trouble, you know, but it turned into something mad crazy. And it ended up with, put like this, we was fine and we went on partying. We had a good time. I had a little fat lip to some lips that's already fat. But, I mean, there was definitely a different side of me and my friends that came out that night. And then, you know, dude and his friends left in a different type of vehicle. Not dead or nothing like that, but, like, you know, authorities came, they broke up the fight. Like, it was nothing bigger that happened after that, right? But the point is that we can find ourselves in crazy situations. I don't know what would happen if there was guns around. I don't know what that is, right? Like, I can also remember being young, being, like, 21 at a club. And it's been a bunch of times where we at a club and then it's shots outside. Somebody try to get a gun inside, you know, and that's just a part of the environment that we was a part of, that we was in. It's not, we wasn't bad kids. This is college kids, like kids in the army. Like, we just went out to have a good time, but there are circumstances that happen. And so, you know, part of the reason I don't really go out to clubs that much anymore, and they kind of killed that club scene here in Oakland. Like, there's not even really hip hop clubs like that in Oakland anymore, because the insurance was so high, right? So and that wasn't just happening in Oakland, that was like San Francisco, San Jose, kind of all over the Bay, and just things would pop off. And so I don't know what's gonna happen to homie. I just think it's unfortunate, and I think that there's a curse of, because had all this stuff happened and his man got shot, he got shot in the leg and he had a gun on him and he didn't do nothing, his career would have ostensibly still been over, because then he would have got clowned before he talked tough on records. And then, you know, when things pop off, he didn't do nothing. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's a tough conversation to have. And I think that a segment of the folks listening to this just don't really understand the psyche of what's going through that young man's mind when all that stuff is popping off. Not excusing anything that he did. A life got lost, and it's just unfortunate all the way around. Moving on. So now I'm gonna just totally switch gears into like this ed world. So, you know, I love working in education, and I'm driven. So I think most people listening kind of know my drive, but I'm driven to serve Oakland and the places that I grew up, solely based off of how I grew up and the opportunities that I saw, and the way, like, I don't have friends here that, you know, anymore, the way that I got to see what quality education looked like and getting real upset because I didn't have that opportunity. And I want to make sure that other folks that grew up like I did have these opportunities, whether it's in education, healthcare, politics, whatever, right? Like, I've tried to serve this city to the best of my ability. So education is a big part of that. And so what you've seen in the last few years is, like, black and brown folks and poor folks are starting to really step up in, like, this ed reform conversation, right? Like, people keep talking about big money and things like that, but now you're seeing, like, young black and brown folks really stepping up and having a voice. The work that I do, like, I have a voice. Like, I'm able to write something on education. I can send it out and thousands of people can read it. Like, that's some powerful stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I get to take families and show them what quality education looks like, and that changes the psyche and mindset of people. And so what's been happening is, when you take things like Black Lives Matter and other, like, social movements, it's starting to bother some people in the ed reform space. And, you know, there was an article that came out, I want to make sure I get this brother's name right. And the article, it bothered me, man. Like, I'm not going to front. Like, it didn't. The brother's name is Robert Pondicio. Excuse me if I said your name wrong, brother. So, basically, he wrote an article that the left's drive to push conservatives out of education reform. But what it really talked about was, like, these, like, groups of color that's in this space now, and that is becoming so radical that there are people with money that don't feel as comfortable about these movements. So a few weeks ago here in San Francisco, well, not I live in Oakland, but in San Francisco, the New School Venture Fund had a from what I heard, a really dope conference. I went there the first night. I just went to see some friends, but unfortunately I had to work during that time, so I wasn't there. But I heard it was really dope. Like Nate Parker was there. You have folks like in the movement that was there, and it was like black folks leading stuff, brown folks leading stuff, and just talking about we not silent no more. Like, what we gonna do? And so this brother wrote an article basically calling that out. And so, you know, he got a lot of backlash for it, but it asked the question of, is this movement becoming too black? And I had some reactions to it. And so, you know, I think that a lot of people did jump down that dude's throat. I understand why. I get it, you know, because I have my own feelings about it. You know, and I don't want to make dude a victim at all. I think that he put himself out there, and this is just the stuff that comes with it. But my question for folks out there in ed reform, because it is a lot of white people out there. It's a lot of white people that are ed reform and anti-reform. Let's be very clear that, like, where the power and the money is concentrated on both sides of this, it's a lot of white folks, right? And I don't inherently have, well, let me make sure I say this right, because I was going to say I don't have an issue with it, but I kind of do, right? I think, like, I want to see more black and brown voices in the space on both sides, on the ed reform side and the anti-reform side. So that means even if I don't necessarily agree with you, I may not like anything that you say, I may not believe in anything that you say, I want to hear from somebody that is representative of the culture, the people that's most affected. And in this ed reform work, the folks that are most affected are poor people, poor black and brown people. And then there are ancillary folks that are affected as well, right? Like, nobody's not important, but I need those voices there. So, and just one, I'm glad that the brother wrote it and is able to stand behind it, because I've always said that. I've always preferred people to just tell me how they feel up front so I know how to move. I prefer that than, like, acting like you cool with something and you really not, and you moving stuff behind the scenes. Like, at least I know how to wiggle when I know where you truly stand. But my question for ed reform is just like, yo, you not losing no space. So I want to know what it is that you worried about. Because at the end of the day, and we cut back all these layers, it comes back down to, like, these other arguments. It almost feels like the let's make America great again type thing, right? Like, we here. Like, listen, man, I snuck in that door. I'm not going nowhere. I'm here. You should have never let me in this ed game. Especially if you don't want to hear from somebody that's being authentic and that's being honest about this stuff. I don't have friends in this. Like, you got to understand that, man. Like, I didn't get into this to make friends. I respect a lot of people in this movement. But I'm representing something that's deep down inside of me. And I'm not talking about things that I think. I'm not talking about things that I suppose may have happened. I'm talking about experience. I am rooted. Where I come from is rooted in the experience that I've had. It's rooted in having a really bad education. It bothers me when I hear people blaming all this turmoil on charters and big money in education, because that wasn't the case when I was in school. This is way before there was a charter boom in Oakland. Like, education was still bad. And when I say numbers, like there are some schools where less than 10% of the black folks is on reading level. And it's happening a lot. Like, those things bother me. And I know that the statistics of, if you don't graduate from high school, your chances of going to jail is almost inevitable. And all I got to do is look around my circle of friends and where I grew up. All I got to do is look on the mantle where my homeboy's, like, picture is up because he's dead. And then remembering, like, when he was at my house and we, like, playing video games and, like, or, like, we was in world history together and he got asked to read something out loud and my guy, like, stumbled through the sentence in, like, the 9th and 10th grade. Suffice it to say, he ended up dropping out not very long after that. So, like, this, I'm coming from a place that has real consequences where I've seen real, like, what happens when we not educating people. I come from a place where I think it's whack to not give parents options. I think it's whack. I think, and people don't like when you say terms like competition. I don't really have a, I don't care. I do think that, like, I am agnostic about if a kid goes to a traditional public school, a charter public school, or a private school. I think all three of those should be quality, and that child should leave ready to take on the world. When LeBron James enters the NBA, he has a meeting with Nike, Adidas, Reebok, and they give him the best offer they can give him. You know why? Because he's valuable. Because he's valuable and he matters, and he brings them business. His success brings the company business. So why wouldn't those three companies fight for him? And why wouldn't they fight to keep him? Because he is worth fighting for. Don't you feel like your kid should be that same way? Shouldn't school systems fight to attract you and your child? Shouldn't they say, this is what we have to offer? And then the charter school says, this is what we have to offer. And then the private school say, this is what we have to offer. Parent, here is all the information. Now, in the world that I'm dreaming of right now, and I will wake up as soon as I finish this podcast, is that regardless of where that parent chooses, that child leaves ready for the world. But that just is not the case right now. Like, I want to see our traditional public schools get better, man. That's why I spend so much time working in them. That's why I spend, like, hours and hours beyond what I'm required to do. Because this stuff is important. And there are people here that can't speak up for themselves. And it's people, like, it's people that don't have the benefit of knowing the data that I know. And so when we talk about this on a national level, yeah, man, I love that allies are in this work and helping out, man. I think that that's dope. But you need to be lifting up the people with the experiences, because I can stand in a room and have a different conversation than any of you can. That's just the facts. So, I mean, I think, you know, the Robert cat is getting a lot of attention. I think a lot of it is unwanted attention, but I think that that's just where, I mean, you put yourself out there. I mean, here's the thing. It's probably going to benefit him in the long run. Like, CNN's going to call at some point, MSNBC, somebody's going to have a conversation and engage around this, and it's going to make his profile bigger. I'm not saying that he wrote that. That was the reason why I wrote it. I'm just telling you the facts. You know why? Because that tends to be what happens with white folks, yo. Like, that's just the inherent privilege that comes with that. And I know that people don't like that word. And here's the thing. I've had this conversation. I don't know why white people run away from the word privilege. You better embrace some privilege. It's what you do with it. How I choose to use my male privilege to help out other people is important. So let's have that conversation. But those are my initial thoughts. I'm sure I'll get some comments on that. Moving on. So my bandwagon thing. So people are like I'm recording this during the Warriors game. It's game 7. I'm pretty sure they're going to win, right? So I'm not as hyped as I once got. So there's a few reasons for that, right? So I like the Warriors, man. It's my second favorite team, right? So one, I've just fallen out of love with basketball. Like, I've always been a person, like, even before I got hurt, I always preferred to play than watch. That's just who I am. That's one of the reasons I never really got into coaching, because I wanted to compete on the court. I didn't really want to have to sit back and not be able to do something. So that's one thing. I like to compete. But two, you know, when Oakland no longer became good enough for the Warriors, and it's not the Warriors' fault, and they announced that they was moving to San Francisco, I was like, I hope they get one in Oakland before they leave. And they got one. And I think after that, I think I just mentally shut off, right? Like, I think all those things kind of planned into it. But I think the kicker was new bandwagon fans. Like, yo, I've been around cheering for these boys since, like, Tim Hardaway, my favorite player, like, play for them. Like, I've been around since Sprewell been choking coaches, yo. Like, when the Warriors was a running joke, when we had Thunder, when we had all those folks, when my homie O'Donnell played for them, like, and there was no, when we was doing, like, the We Believe campaign, you know what I'm saying, when Baron Davis was out here dunking on cats from the Mavericks and we upset those boys, like, I'm from there. So, it's always hard for me when I see people that don't know the difference between a dunk and a touchdown. Now becoming basketball like enthusiasts, and I'm seeing Warrior stuff all over. It's just disingenuous to me. And this is the thing. You know what? I think it's deeper than that, right? Listen, people probably logging off right now. I don't care. I'm honest, man. I'm not afraid of none of y'all. I'm gonna be honest with you. You want me to be honest, right? You want me to be authentic, right? Like, I just don't like bandwagon people in life. Like, I don't like those people. I don't like, and that's because, yo, when I was growing up and doing real bad, like real bad, nobody wants to have anything to do with you. Like when we was like homeless, yo, like, and people look at you like I got looked at like I was a dirty kid so much. Like, yo, I used to live in my aunt's house, right, in North Oakland. And we used to like have to sleep in a basement. And because my dad was like on drugs, like it would get locked. Like there was no bathroom down there, right? So it's like the dirtiness of who I am. And then when I got a little bit of success, people started liking you. People like are cheering for you. People are like praying for you, right? Like you know what I'm saying? Because people want to be around winners. But I think that makes me distrustful of bandwagon people, because as soon as something gets bad again, they gone. Like, it's all gone. So the Warriors would have lost, and like all the Jordan memes would have came out and all that stuff, and people would have, like, I just don't like I just feel like if you're a bandwagon fan, it says something to me about your character, and I just can't rock with you. Like, remember how I started off the podcast about why I liked, like, Troy Ave? I don't necessarily like or condone what he did to get money and to get in the game. But I just, there's something about authentic people. Like, I tend to struggle in my work and around like some of the crowds because I'm in because I am who I am. Like, it don't matter how many degrees I got, right? Like, it's just certain, I just am who I am. Like, I'm never gonna be comfortable with dogs around my food. Sorry, Oakland. Right? I'm never gonna like act like I like you if I don't. If I truly don't believe in something, I'm just not going to go all in it. Like, I know how to behave myself and not be disrespectful, but nobody's genuine no more. Like, if I give you a compliment, like, I mean it, because if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it. You know, my grandmama told me growing up, like, I give a lot of compliments, right, to men and women, right? And maybe it's a Southern thing, it's a respect thing or whatnot, but my grandmother always said, you know, find something good about a person and focus in on that. So if I see you and you look nice, like, I like to dress nice, so I'm going to give you props. If I see a brother in some nice shoes, I'm say, brother, some nice shoes. If I see a young lady that looks very nice, I'm say, that's a nice outfit. Like, because that's just how I was kind of raised. And when I say those things, I mean those things. Now, even if I don't like you, I'm going to find something about you that I like, right? But I'm not going to just lie to you. Like, if you stink, like, if you got a cologne on and I don't like the smell of it, I'm not going to tell you the opposite. And, like, I'm not going to be your friend because you up at the moment. And then I'm going to bounce on you when you down. So, I didn't mean to take, like, the basketball. Because it's like, somebody probably listening, like, yo, you took that hoop thing way too far. Just let people enjoy themselves. And I think that's cool. Definitely enjoy yourself. You know, I think that, like, I am a professional extrovert, personal introvert. So what that means is, like, if you've met me in a social setting, you see me out giving speeches or something like that and interacting with folks. I mean, that's who I am in that moment. I enjoy it. I enjoy communicating and talking with people and learning with people and, like, getting to know people. But just for, like, if it's Friday night and my friend's like, yo, let's go hit up the club. Let's go hit up the spot. Like, I did that in my early 20s. You just heard some of the stories. That's part of the reason why I probably don't go now. It just don't do nothing for me. Like, I got, like, I knew Hillary was out here this week, and Bernie Sanders was out here, and I got invited to an event with Bernie Sanders and all that stuff. I was like, the people was like, you going? I was like, nah. Why? For one, I'm not in love with any of the candidates. Let's be totally clear. I know who I'm going to vote for. I mean, I don't want Trump to win. So whoever wins the Democratic nomination, that's who I'm going to go for. I know who I'm going for in the primary. But that don't mean I need to go out with the pom-poms and, like, go see these people. Because I'm not inspired by either one, like, by none of these people. I would be lying to myself and to you if I showed up with the pom-poms on. That's also to say, if something were to happen and I got offered a job by President Clinton or President Sanders, that's not to say I wouldn't take the job. That's business. And I can shine in my job. Like, I'm just a very honest person in that way. And I just appreciate authenticity. So, yo, Warrior fans, do you. I'm happy for the folks that's, like, for the folks that's been down from day one. Like, celebrate, man. Enjoy your win. You know what I'm saying? But for you bandwagon people, like, and I'm not, of course, I'm not talking about, like, little kids that's, like, just get caught up in the hype because you five. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, like, you know who you are. Like, I just, it makes me shaky on your character. Like, you type of person that's like, when things is up and I can help you, phone is ringing, you stopping through, you seeing somebody, yo. Yo, do you know that when I, like, tore my leg up, yo, it was a few people that came to see me. Let me, so one, my pops was supposed to show up to take me to the hospital. Something happened and he didn't come. My boy Mylon took me to my surgery, got me home, you know what I'm saying? Made sure I was straight. Like, I couldn't walk, yo, right? My brother Will checked in on me, made sure I was straight. And then, like, a few, like, OG leaders here, you know what I'm saying, checked in on me. But for the most part, that phone didn't ring. I was laid up. I was hurting. I couldn't walk. You know what I'm saying? I had to, like, I remember rolling out of bed, falling and sliding to, like, the bathroom because I refused to use the little bathroom thing that they gave me for the room. I just, my dignity wasn't going to allow that. So, like, I was in there, like, falling and tripping and, like by myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just feel like a bandwagon fan to me just represents, like, the fakeness of our society at times. But for the folks that have been down from the beginning, from the gate, that's just been around, that's what's up, man. More power to you. Enjoy. Hoop just don't do it for me no more. It was the thing I love most. I have not watched maybe three dribbles in these series, in these playoffs. Probably not going to watch the finals because it just don't speak to me. It's like me watching, you know, the hockey finals. Like, it's just, I just don't care. And the one thing that you should know about me, if I'm doing something with you or for you, know that I'm doing it because I want to. Because I've worked real hard to get to a place in my life that I don't really, there's not really too many things that I don't want to do that I have to do. So if I rock with you, I rock with you because I rock with you. You feel me? So, same way, I'm a Troy Ave fan. I was a Troy Ave fan before all this stuff happened. I'm going to be a Troy Ave fan after. We'll see what happens. I was a 50 Cent fan before he blew up, when he was doing the mixtape stuff, after he got shot. Then the time when he blew up and it's the 10 million copy sold and all the fans there. And even when, like, the proverbial fall off or whatever it is, I don't think your brother ever fell off, but I've been a fan. My fandom has never stopped. Because I'm a loyal person and I actually enjoy the music. I think there's authenticity there in that music. You know what I'm saying? The same with Nas. Nas went from being like the next Rakim and then he had his dry spell for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Before Jay-Z woke him up with that diss and then he had to murder Jay-Z on Ether. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been a Nas fan nonstop. Charles Hamilton, I've been a Charles Hamilton fan nonstop. Even when he lost his deal because he was an addict. Janet Jackson, I've been in love with Janet Jackson since forever. I don't care what this album does. I don't care, you know what I'm saying, that she had to cancel her tour so she could have a baby. Like, I'm just a fan of that person because loyalty means something different to me in that, you know, sense. And I'm not going to act like I've never been disloyal before because I definitely have been. like my friendship game needs some work in a lot of places. But yo, check it out. I moved around a lot as a kid. So I learned how to do things alone. I like doing things alone. So like that circle of people that I actually hang out with that actually got access to me in that way is small. It's a few folks that can get me out to do stuff. Will can, Mylon can. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, so that's my whole thing. Like, it speaks to something greater. Like, I could care less about the game. Basketball is a game. And so, I mean, basketball was very good to me. It kept me out of a lot of trouble. I got to see a lot of things and have a lot of experience because of basketball. But, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's a game where an orange, round, bouncy thing goes into a hoop. Right? So, like that, my position of that speaks deeper. So at any rate, man, y'all know I love talking to you. If you do like the podcast, and I got a lot of comments and questions and text messages about when the next podcast coming. I've been reading this. I've been listening to your stuff. I just caught up on all of them. That's what's up. I need you to go like it on iTunes. Go get that thing 5 stars. That makes a difference. As the other platforms expand, I would like to continue to carry this one along. But I get busy sometimes. So, you know, but if I saw that, this would get the extra attention that I think that it needs at times. But it's a lot of things that a brother's doing, trying to be great in these streets for y'all and help these kids and help myself and all that stuff. But at any rate, man, take care of yourselves and each other. And I hope y'all have a great week. And until we talk again, y'all have a good one. Peace out. One good song is worth 1,000 toasts. So before I leave, proceed with your ball. Your new company, you make us so proud. We've been wanting something this good for a while. But I'm not fooled by both them dimples on your face. Cause when we dance, I felt that fall on your waist. And you know, she like my style, she like my blues. It ain't no Chuck involved, she knows. I came so far from dealing. Been on my grind and now it shows. Ain't nobody around who sound like this. We ain't the same, they roll that. Them lames, get down with this. Pop champagne, girl, shake your hips. Shorty got a thing for me. It's only right I slide with a spoiler. With money eyes and yeah, with G is the same. Popping like I'm celebrating, spend the week in the pain. Mix 2 cities up to sleep on a plane. One time for keeping it real. Still in your heart where you stand. Lifting your feet up like the marksman I am. Then leave them 2 times for any non-believers. Now we even. I think you're runners.